This is Radio Superior 1942, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1942. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear this recreation of radio as it may have sounded in 1942. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
Hello, hello, good listeners. This is Station KUWS, broadcasting from the land of beautiful lakes. It's Saturday, July the 25th, 1942, 5 o'clock standard wartime. We've got Lou Martin standing by with the Butler Shipyard's 5 o'clock news and the latest war news. Two Superior men missing in action in the Philippines are honored as heroes today. Our Harriet Farrig features our boys in the service, and after that, we've got the swinging hits from the big bands. First, now, let's turn our attention to the Walter Butler Shipyard's 5 o'clock news with Lou Martin. Butler Shipyard's set to launch its second ship tomorrow morning to help the Allied effort to rule the seas. As usual, Lou, this is such a busy news time.
Well, you know, wartime tends to do that, Jack. FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover is warning Americans to be on the lookout for German spies. The information comes from the ongoing military tribunal of 8 men accused of spying and sabotage for the Third Reich. It reveals that the 3 other Nazi train saboteurs could be roaming the United States. Thousands of posters with pictures of the 3 men are being distributed nationwide. Mr. Hoover says these saboteurs have been ordered by the German High Command to destroy vital war industries that could include the vital shipments of ore from the Iron Range to the steel factories in the lower Great Lakes, or the Morgan Park U.S. steel plant itself. Fierce Allied bombing of Japanese invaders in New Guinea is isolating Imperial troops there, thwarting their efforts to take Port Moresby. The situation along the Russian front grows desperate for the Soviets as Nazi troops advance in the first diplomatic exchange of American nationals with the Japanese. We have wireless shortwave reports from correspondents around the globe.
Australia calling. General MacArthur's headquarters calling. Daryl Barrigan reporting. The new Japanese invasion forces in the Bunagona area of New Guinea, with one transport sunk, 2 disabled, and the others withdrawing under constant Allied air attack, nearly are cut off from retreat. 45,000 pounds of high explosive and firebombs, the biggest Allied operations in the entire New Guinea air war, were dropped on the Bunagona area Friday in 5 raids. Bombers, dive bombers, and fighter planes participated. Direct hits were scored, big fires started, and 1 anti-aircraft battery silenced. So fierce were the attacks, according to a communique from General MacArthur's headquarters, that Japanese cargo vessels were unable to unload and were forced to withdraw north under protection of naval forces. The sinking of the transport and the disablement of 2 others apparently occurred on Wednesday when the Japanese landed. It was now indicated that few, if any, Japanese ships were left in the vicinity of the new invasion. Thus, the invaders ashore would have to be supplied quickly or face eventual annihilation. Reporting from Allied headquarters in Australia, this is Daryl Barrigan, United Press Foreign Service, calling Moscow. Come in, Moscow.
This is Moscow calling. Soviet Russian headquarters, Eddie Gilmore reporting. The German onslaught continues to roll up victories against the Red Army. This summertime offensive is forcing a retreat not seen since the initial invasion of the Soviet Union last summer. The tide of war has turned to the favor of the Nazi war machine, as Berlin has claimed to have captured Rostov and the Don, threatening Stalingrad and the Caucasus. Tanks, infantry, and dive bombers are repeating the blitzkrieg strategy that brought Europe to its knees in just a matter of weeks last year. Moscow itself has evacuated most major industries to the east in the event the Soviet capital falls. This is Eddie Gilmore reporting from Moscow for the United Press Foreign Service.
This is Portuguese East Africa calling. Wes Gallagher reporting. The first diplomatic transfer of nationals between the United States and Japan since the start of the Pacific War was completed here today when more than 1,100 North and South Americans boarded the Swedish liner Gripsholm to take the places vacated by Japanese diplomats and their families brought from America. Some of the returning American nationals reported that some prisoners were threatened with the guillotine by Japanese authorities seeking to obtain admissions of guilt from men charged with espionage. There was a general food shortage in Hong Kong, and Americans and Canadians held there suffered from beriberi, pellagra, and other ailments caused by diet deficiencies. Some lost as much as 60 pounds in weight, and the average was 20 pounds. In the northern areas of the Japanese Empire, internees suffered from cold during the winter. Those held in Korea and Manchukuo endured unheated cells and houses with temperatures below zero. A score of American priests captured in Hong Kong on Christmas Day said they were marched to a ravine for execution, then reprieved at the last moment. They were held in a garage for 3 days, tied in groups with insufficient water and food. The United Press received a dispatch from its correspondent Robert Belair telling how he and Joseph Dynan of the Associated Press were beaten and choked by the Japanese when they refused to write certain statements. This is Wes Gallagher, United Press Foreign Service, reporting from Portuguese East Africa.
Growing guerrilla activity in Central Europe is bringing reprisals from Nazi Germany and Italy. Reports that four Polish villages were burned to the ground have filtered to London and are being reported by the Polish government in exile there. The reports say that hundreds are being executed by Nazi troops, while others are being sent to Nazi labor camps. Guerrilla attacks, derailing trains, and killing two fascist officials in the Yugoslav region have also brought terrible retribution. Four Yugoslav villages have been bombed and strafed by Italian planes, according to a Yugoslav official. Secretary of State Cordell Hull told reporters today that after the war, an international agency must be formed to keep the peace, even if it must use force to keep that peace. Secretary Hull also called on all neutral nations to enter this world war on the side of the Allied nations. Butler Shipyard News Time is 5:07. Jack McKenna has this important message from our sponsor.
Well, they're racing ahead now in their building of the ships. 2 weeks ago, when the John W. Ari was launched, Robert Butler, president of Walter Butler Shipyards Incorporated, said that the first boat was only the beginning. Now, 14 days later, the company's second wartime vessel is set to roll down the ways. The launching ceremony will take place at the Walter Butler Shipyards at 10:30 a.m. Sunday. However, due to maritime restrictions, we regret that we cannot invite the public to witness the launching from within our yards. So, hooray for the Walter Butler Shipyards Incorporated. First Street and Hammond Avenue, Superior. They're doing the job we all want them to do, and they're doing it quickly. Walter Butler Shipbuilders. Okay, Lou.
The coastal freighter, the Rodney Baxter, will be the fourth ship to slide into the Twin Ports Harbor from Superior Shipyards tomorrow. Named after a British sea hero, the Baxter is built for Great Britain under the Land Lease Act. Because of security reasons, the launching will be a simple affair. Only shipyard employees and Mrs. Robert Butler, wife of the shipyard president, will be on hand to see it slide into St. Louis Bay. The Rodney Baxter is the second of 18 ships commissioned to be built at Butler and follows this month's launching of the John Ari. Lake Superior Shipyards launched the casing head and the bullwheel last winter, accounting for other ships launched so far. Two servicemen from Superior had their names added to the Douglas County Honor Roll today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson was on hand for the ceremony.
It was a quiet, solemn ceremony, Lou and listeners, because both men have not been heard from since the fall of the Philippines in May. Alfred Eugene Nault helped fight off Japanese hordes at Fort Mills, aiding the defenders of the Bataan Peninsula until it collapsed, and then held siege at Fort Mills in Manila Bay until Corregidor fell on May 11th. Alfred Nault hasn't been heard from since. Marine Corps Private First Class John Austin was also among those in defense of Manila Bay, facing overwhelming odds of 5 Japanese to each American with a shortage of food and ammunition. But Private Austin and Nault were part of the effort that delayed Japanese victory in the Philippines, giving the Allies time to set up defenses in the Pacific. Those delays allowed us time to defend Australia in the Battle of the Coral Sea and the great victory in the Battle of Midway Island. The names of Nault and Austin bring the number of Douglas County servicemen on the honor roll to 19. Their parents will be sent citations. We can still hold out hope, Lou. There is a possibility. Both were taken prisoner of war and are okay.
We can hope and pray for their safety, Mike. Well, there's a proposal to build a synthetic rubber plant in Superior. The idea comes from Democratic State Assemblyman John Green. Representative Green sent a letter this week suggesting that Superior would be a perfect location since synthetic rubber could be made from grain and is in an area that can transport the rubber on rail or the Great Lakes. And finally, Jack, the cannon that has stood on the Shell Lake Courthouse lawn since the end of the First World War is going back to war.
Lou, that cannon's an antique. It wouldn't do much good in modern warfare, would it?
Well, it can do a lot of good now. It's scheduled to be demolished for scrap.
Oh, make a new cannon out of it, eh? Fine. The people of Shell Lake should be proud. Thanks, Lou Martin, with the 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon news. Friends, we have a wet, wonderful summer evening here at the head of the lakes. Our forecast from the United States Weather Bureau for this July 25th, 1942, calls for showers and thunderstorms tonight, with a low around 56 degrees. We can't tell you what it'll be like tomorrow because of wartime censorship on the weather forecasting. I will say today's high of 68 degrees might make an encore presentation tomorrow, however. How about that? Let's think of this question as we listen to the fine music this evening from our big band selection. What makes a person patriotic? What do you think? Our first selection is this nice number from the Mills Brothers. A fine summertime song it is on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Oh, up the lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun lingered in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream of me. Up the lazy river where the robins song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy you could be. Up the lazy river with me. Up the lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree.
Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Oh,
up the lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy you could be. Up the lazy river with me. Shade of a kind old tree.
Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me.
Up the lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning where we can loaf along.
Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up the lazy river, how happy you could be.
Up the lazy river with me. Up the lazy river with me.
The enjoyable sounds of the Mills Brothers, good listeners, and Up a Lazy River. We'd all like to be up a lazy river once in a while. On station KUWS. So, Lou, What do you think makes a person patriotic?
Well, I have one gentleman here who has this business announcement and is a good example of what patriotism is all about. His name is John Edwards. Good evening, Mr. Edwards.
I say smile for victory, Jack and Lou. That's right. A lot of your listeners know me for our wall and window cleaning business in the Beacon Theater building. Well, we're leaving today for one of the biggest cleanup jobs the world has ever known. We intend to do our best, too.
So you're closing up shop for the duration, then?
Well, me and manager Carl Larson are heading to training camp. We're a small outfit, you know. We just have to close shop and hope for the best. But we want to wish our patrons the best here on the home front and hope that once this is all over, we can come back to serve you once again. That's all, Lou.
Well, thank you, Mr. John Edwards. We certainly wish you the best.
Oh, since we'll be going over there, I can't say enough times, everybody buy war bonds.
And we'll wish you Godspeed, Mr. Edwards. Now, here's a number just for you and your crew heading for the service on behalf of a grateful nation. This is Benny Goodman, the great Benny, with vocal by Peggy Lee on station KUWS. Good luck, sir. Boy, I could listen to that anytime, and so I did. Benny Goodman and his orchestra, somebody else is taking my place. Peggy Lee on the vocal. On station KUWS, a song for all departing servicemen, and we know that there are many of you out there.
If you want to know what patriotism is, John Edwards and Carl Larson are good examples.
Giving up their business and putting their lives on the line. Boy.
Well, freedom will do that to you. It's worth making a stand for. Hey, Jack.
I haven't gone anywhere, Lou, but you've got me in a reflective mood.
You asked the question about what makes a person patriotic, old buddy, and it's a good question. I do have this note from the Evening Telegram to pass along.
So do I. But you go first, Lou.
People are inundating the Telegram with requests for copies of the Bayfield Flood Edition. So the Telegram has put together a special edition with photos and information about the July 17th disaster in Bayfield and subsequent articles about how people are rebuilding there. Each edition will cost 5 cents, the same as the regular editions.
The pictures of the damage there are startling, but my message from the Telegram is a little different. A bullet is useful for driving invaders back to Tokyo and Berlin. A war savings stamp is useful for buying the bullets that will defeat our enemies. Your savings buy these war savings stamps that buy these bullets. So how do you get these savings? Well, this is how you save. Newspaper advertisements show you where to spend your money wisely, where you can get the best value for the least money. They point the way to honorable merchants whose goods will serve you well, whose values will save you money for war savings stamps and war savings bonds. And that, friends, is a note from the Evening Telegram. All righty then, good listeners. We've been serious much too long. It's a Saturday night, so let's kick up our heels, let down our hair. That's quite a sight, if you've got it. Here's Lilton Martha Tilton and the Angels Sing on Your Voice from the Head of the Lakes, Station KUWS. Trouble handling all this great music. And you can cut a rug or two with Benny Goodman and his orchestra, with the Lilton Martha Tilton, and the Angels Sing, only on the Martin and McKenna Show. Hey, folks, here's a way you can be patriotic. gather up those old and broken phonograph records and bring them to your local grocer, George Lee of Superior American Legion Post No. 65, and Robert Connolly of the Superior Retail Merchants Association have joined forces to collect these records. Those records will be sold for scrap in the war effort, believe it or not, and proceeds will go to buy new records for USO clubs across the country. And Mr. Connolly and Mr. Lee have an ambitious goal. 22,000 records between now and August 3rd. That's not a whole lot of time, but I'll bet they'll get it done. Just turn the records in at your corner grocery store. And appropriately enough, let's swing and sway with Sammy Kay and his orchestra. Old Sammy knows all about this record drive on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get your carnival, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. Get out those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound
Barney Google was scratchy,
the tunes
and the
really
were catchy,
and especially the that said I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get your carnival, I'd bring my portable
song
to melt your heart away. With all those old
they were wonderful
records, those old
play them over
records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
Get out those old, old records
we used to play so long ago.
Get out those old, old records
we used to play so long ago.
That was pretty much Oom-pa-pa for Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay on this Saturday night. That was Get Out These Old Records on station KUWS.
You're good at choosing music tonight, old son.
Oh, thanks, Lou. Some of those I just couldn't resist.
Well, let me bring in our community editor, the talented Harriet Farrig.
Whatever happened to lovely?
Louis has a way of making a girl feel special for more than her looks. Thank you, Louis.
You're welcome, Harriet.
You don't like lovely anymore?
Oh, lovely is nice, but it's also good to recognize, especially in wartime, that women have many more things to offer as we enter the workforce. And, Jack, you asked what makes a person patriotic. That's such an important question that all of us have to answer. And that's unusually deep for you to ask such a thing.
Jack is usually a deep in other things.
Thank you, Harriet.
I mean, I have a list of boys in the service who are all doing the most patriotic thing by fighting for our country. John Lloyd Gilmer is home on a 9-day furlough visiting his parents. He returns to Great Lakes Naval Station next week. He might bump into Wayne Jackson of Solon Springs, who is taking basic courses at Great Lakes. Roy Terry was promoted to Staff Sergeant. He's stationed at Keesler Field, Mississippi, where he's with the Army Air Corps. His parents in Superior just got the word. Ensign Bartlett Everson is an instructor at the Naval Air Corps Base in Corpus Christi, Texas. His parents are Mr. and Mrs. Ernest Everson. Private First Class Sherman Cohen is home on furlough visiting his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Ben Cohen of 1211 Broadway. And a lot of folks might remember Joe Lozinski. He was the secretary of the Superior Chamber of Commerce. He's now Private First Class Joe Lozinski, stationed at Harlingen, Texas Army School. He's working in the Special Services Office and reports cactus instead of trees there.
That would be Harlingen, Texas, all right. Thank you, Harriet. The boys are certainly doing their duty.
And as long as this war goes on, and it doesn't look like it will be over for a long time, these fellows will be transferred over to England or Australia.
I guess that's as good an answer to Jack's question as any.
I mean, some people are bombastic about how they are patriotic. Yet, even as they wave the flag in people's faces, they hoard food and money, or buy things on the black market.
You know, I have to say that people like Colonel Raffoli might be a little grating.
A little?
Well, but the Colonel, like so many other people, do many important things to help the war effort.
People are patriotic in their own way.
You know, it's the action, not the words, that makes a person truly patriotic.
Well, like grocers collecting old records, or John Edwards closing shop and entering the service.
Everyday people like John Austin and Alfred Nault, who find themselves defending their country in a faraway place like the Philippines.
The housewife going to work in the shipyards or rolling bandages.
Bob Bazooka Burns and Jinx Falkenberg entertaining troops and raising money for war bonds.
Or you, Jack, a little too old for the service, helping keep morale high at home by doing your radio show.
And, Jack, that is what makes a person patriotic.
Oh, boy, you guys are good. Thanks. Yeah. In other words, it requires sacrifice. Some more than others. Friends, thank you for being part of the Martin and McKenna Show. We will be back, same time, same place on your radio dial. For Lou and Harriet, this is Jack McKenna, wishing you a very good night.
This is Radio Superior 1942, a weekly production presented by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson, with research by Sarah Dorman. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1932 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.
We have this important follow-up to tonight's program, good listeners.
The two soldiers added to the Douglas County Honor Roll on July the 25th of 1942 may not have survived the war. Alfred Nault was taken prisoner of war after his defense of Fort Mills at the mouth of Manila Bay. He died in a Japanese prison camp on July the 20th, 1943. There is no record of John Austin's fate, although as of July the 25th, 1942, he was still missing in action.
We believe it's important for you to know the price so many people paid to defend our nation. We'd like to thank the Douglas County Veterans Office for their help. Good night.